This was during the days of unleavened bread, and when, in fact, the 14th is celebrated, as it will next year, occur on a Saturday. And the days of unleavened bread begin the 15th with a Sunday and end with a Saturday. Our old custom was that we understood the wave sheaf was cut at the conclusion of the days of unleavened bread, which was the only weekly Sabbath during that 7-day period. And so the wave sheaf was pictured as being cut after or outside the 7-day period. And it was, by 1974, a reality that dawned on Mr. Armstrong, but he did not originate it. It was a reality that the Sabbath which precedes the cutting of the wave sheaf is the one which, together with the wave sheaf, must fall during an 8-day period, including Passover the 14th. In order that the wave sheaf always is cut during the days of unleavened bread, so that if the 14th falls on a Saturday, that is considered the Sabbath after which the wave sheaf is cut. So I want to answer a question, because there are always people in any fellowship, and even the Catholic Church recognizes that they chose, when they published their great encyclopedia at the turn of the century, that they would not make a decision on the Jewish custom, which was divided. In the days of the New Testament, after the days of Ezra, following the time of the tragic civil disturbance in Syria under Antiochus Epiphanes, following that time, the Pharisees had one view, the Sadducees had another about this day. And I want to explain it because I think it important that we understand. Jesus lived at a time when the priests who controlled the temple had one view, and the Pharisees had another, who dominated the synagogues. And it was not till at least mid-century before the Pharisees regained domination at the temple. And it is this. This is the argument. After the time of Ezra and the other prophets of his day and before, to the time of Malachi, after the conclusion, let us say, of the writing of the Old Testament, it was known in the community, in the Jewish community, that the wave sheaf had at all times been cut during the days of unleavened bread. The Sadducees drew the conclusion that the reckoning of the day before the sheaf was cut that represents the Messiah that was presented to God. They said the day before the sheaf is cut is always the 7th day of the week. Now, in control of the priesthood once more at the temple, after the Pharisees lost domination of the priesthood at the temple, which was in the century before the birth of Christ, it had passed from Pharisees to Sadducees, who were in fact new perspectives in the religion anyway, not something going back to the days of Ezra. The Sadducees said that the day is Saturday, the weekly Sabbath, The result of which was this, that they said that Saturday was during the days of unleavened bread. And they did not realize that they had introduced something new by saying that. And that is that when the 14th of the first month falls on a Saturday or Sabbath, then they considered that the Sabbath preceding the cutting of the wave sheaf was the 21st day of the month. And the sheaf was cut on the 22nd after the days of unleavened bread were finished. The Pharisees countered and said, "Your conclusion is absolutely wrong. In order to keep that wave sheaf being cut during the days of unleavened bread, we propose that the meaning of the text, the Sabbath, and then the next day, that that does not refer to the seventh day of the week, but the first holy day of the days of unleavened bread under the covenant made at Sinai. That is the 15th. And therefore, they said, the wave sheaf shall always be cut on the 16th, not on any specific day of the week, but a specific day of the month after the first annual holy day. And the Christian world, interestingly, had to make a decision, and has made a decision. And the Church of God made a decision. So I'm going to tell you what the Church of God decided. Worldwide Church of God, Radio Church of God, for many years adopted the view of the Sadducees, not the Pharisees. They said the word Sabbath means, the word Sabbath means the seventh day of the week. That's the word I wish to use. And we made an assumption that the Sadducees also did. That assumption was that the Sabbath preceding the cutting of the wave sheaf must fall within the days of unleavened bread. And here I can say clearly, there is no justification historically, and the Pharisees were right. But the Pharisees did not offer the right solution. The problem arose when sacrifices ceased to be done during the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, and neither group got the picture right when they were restored. One said, let's solve the problem by considering that the Sabbath mentioned in Leviticus 23 is the first holy day. That way we'll always have the custom of the wave sheaf offered during unleavened bread as it was from Ezra's time till then and before. The Sadducees would have none of it. Let me tell you that when Jesus was here, the church that gave us the New Testament did have a clear understanding that neither was fully right. Let me read you something that has been thrown out of the text in most modern translations, even though one of the canons of biblical study of the text is that the more complex should be preferred over the simpler and smoother. And here is the one place that answers history's question where lower critics of the text have erred and chosen the smoother because they didn't know what to do with the more complex. Luke 6:1. It happened, I'm going to read the New King James Version because it basically is the story of the Authorized Version here. It happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields. This has never made sense to the scholarly world. And they don't know how this kind of thing could have been introduced. And they try to translate it first one way or another. the literal translation in plain and simple terms. It happened now, I'm giving a literal form of the Greek order, on the Sabbath, second, first. One word, second hyphen first, is the Greek deuteroproton. In this case, it is a form. That's the normal form you would have expected. It has its grammatical ending. To have something deutero second, you know, Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, and proto, first, protozoa, and so forth in English. We get it from the Greek. What kind of a Sabbath is both second and first? Well, that simply didn't enter our minds. It certainly is, in fact, the explanation of why the Sadducees and Pharisees were divided. If the Pharisees were correct, which they were not, then this word has no meaning. If the Sadducees were incorrect with respect to which Sabbath, then this word has meaning. This word has no meaning if the Pharisees were right. But they were not. But this has meaning if the Sadducees were wrong and made the assumption that the Sabbath was a different Sabbath than the one meant. On the occasion when the Passover is a Saturday or the 14th. In which case, the Sadducees said, as if they were to look at the calendar for next year, a Sadducee would have said, next year the 14th is a Saturday. Therefore, it is the 21st of the month that is the Sabbath referred to here, so that the first Sabbath afterward is the 28th of the month. But if indeed that is wrong, but the Sadducees were right in knowing that it meant the seventh day of the week, then the 14th day was the Sabbath, and the 15th would have been the day of the wave sheaf, and the first Sabbath afterward would have been the 21st, not the 28th of the month. But the 28th of the month would have been the second Sabbath or the first, depending on whether you followed the Bible or the Sadducees. In other words, the 28th of that lunar month, in one of the years of Christ's ministry, tells us which day from this account, because this is a spring account, and I don't have to prove that here. You can look at it in any interlinear. That's not what I mean, a harmony of the Gospels. In other words, there was a year in which the 14th of the month was a Saturday in the days of Jesus' ministry. That year was a year in which Jesus and the disciples would have observed the Passover, and the wave sheaf would have been cut at a different time than the Sadducees would have done it, 1 week earlier. Now, Mr. Armstrong came to realize not that this verse had anything to do with his conclusion, and he didn't base it on this verse at all. But he had to realize that indeed there was no reason to assume on the basis of our understanding that the wave sheaf should follow entirely the days of unleavened bread and be unrelated to it. But he did come to realize something quite interesting. I have here the Septuagint translation in English. It is a two-column, Greek and English. This is the Bible that the New Testament church had access to in the Greek world, wherever it was spoken, when they wanted to read the Old Testament. Now, first of all, just ask yourself, do I have in front of me a King James Version? You don't have to look at it now. If you don't, then it doesn't matter. But find a King James Version and later read what I'm about to read. If you have another translation, find out what it says. The church took for granted for years that we were dealing with a matter that was translated correctly. It was not. This is the story of what happened in the days of Joshua. I read in English from the Greek Old Testament. The Jewish translation would have the same thing in principle. And the children of Israel kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening at the westward of Jericho on the opposite side of the Jordan in the plain. And they ate the grain of the earth, unleavened and new. My, my. I had never looked to see what the Greek text said. I knew the Jewish text when we started to study this was different from the Authorized Version, because the Authorized Version twice has a word old, as if it were the old crop, which makes absolutely no sense. One, it would never have been left in the field, and if it was already brought in, the Canaanites would have long ago, a year ago, harvested it and stored it away. This was not the old crop the children of Israel were eating. This was an occasion. The crossing of the Jordan occurred when the 14th day in this year was a Saturday. And Joshua rightly understood that that Saturday was the Sabbath of Leviticus 23, so that the sheaf would be cut on the 15th, the morrow after the Sabbath, and the Passover was sacrificed on the 14th, and on the morrow afterward, they ate of unleavened bread and new, that is, new grain. I didn't use the word corn here because it's in italics anyway, and corn in English means grain, and here it means maize in the United States. On this day, the manna failed. After they had eaten of the grain, I will not use the word corn because this is a British translation of the land. Now, this means that on the 15th day, on the morrow after the 14th, as the Jews make very plain, they ate of the new crop, which means that on Sunday after Saturday, the wave sheaf was cut, and on the very day after the Passover, the 15th, they went through a ceremony that could always be permitted. And on the 15th, the law says you may make whatever preparation you need for that day. You may cook and prepare a meal, and if need be, you can cut the grain and prepare it. The ceremony overrides any requirement of not working on such a day. That's just talking about secular work. So what is interesting is this example in Joshua 5 gives us a clue that was missing as long as we never realized something. One of you may have a King James Version in front. Does anyone near here do? At the top. All right. Doesn't matter who. I don't wish it. I want you to raise a hand when I ask the following question. Where you see the word old in the book of Joshua, chapter 5, beginning with verse 10 and 11 and 12 in that section, excuse me, is the word old in italics? No. Now remember, when a word appears that is not in italics, it meant to us when we read it that it was in the original. I have no idea why the King James regularly it was printed without italics, which meant that the word old was there. And one of our church members in 73, toward 74, brought to our attention that the word old was not there in the Hebrew. And he was right. Even the Greeks understood that what was eaten on that day, unleavened, was new grain. Nea, N-E-A, new. And so Mr. Armstrong realized that this absence of that word meant indeed that whatever the 7 days of unleavened bread represented, the Messiah's relationship to that question, and we're not debating the question of what unleavened bread means. We're only saying that Messiah's function, as represented by that sheaf, must mean that he was presented by himself as high priest. He presented himself as an offering before God the Father in heaven during and not after the days of unleavened bread. So what has happened? The Christian churches have, because this was known to be the first day of the week historically, the Christian churches understood this event as the Sadducees, not as the Pharisees. The Christian world does not keep Pentecost on the 6th of Sivan, as the Jews now who are rabbinic following the Pharisees do. They, in fact, observe the Sadduceic method. And further, you will find next year, when the 14th falls on a Saturday, you will find, interestingly, next year, that Pentecost, as the church has observed it since the beginning of 1974, would fall on our liturgical calendar 1 week before, because we understand that the Sadducees were wrong. The Christian churches have all agreed that the Pharisees were wrong, and we agree with them that they were wrong. We do not agree that our former custom can be set aside merely because the Sadducees had an understanding which flew in the face of history that the wave sheaf was never offered at a time when it was outside unleavened bread. So this year, there is no difference in the West between our custom and Roman Catholic and some Protestants. Next year, there will be a difference, but I want you to know it, because I doubt that anybody will explain this before next year arrives, because it is not being discussed. We don't even know the background of why churches do what they do. The Christian festival of Pentecost this year is celebrated in the West in one manner. That is, on this day. The Christian churches of the East, very interestingly, I have here the Greek Orthodox calendar. My wife and I do make contributions to the Greek Orthodox Church on occasion in Richmond, Virginia, where we were received very kindly, and we help them in the work that they do out of there. Now, what we find today is the 11th of June, and there is no reference to Pentecost. Then I look at the 18th, and there is a reference to Pentecost. The Orthodox churches observe Pentecost next Sunday. That's their liturgy. You would think after all these centuries there should be no problem. But the different churches make their own liturgical decisions, and that is based not on anything I read, that is based on the fact that in the West, the Catholic Church has a calendar that goes back to a time change in the 16th century in which a certain number of days were dropped out. This year, they will celebrate it as we celebrate it in the West. The Orthodox Church has never given up the old Roman calendar. The Gregorian calendar in the West is not the same as the calendar that the Orthodox still continue, because they say the decision that was made at the Council of Nicaea on all these dates with respect to Easter and Pentecost shall be governed by the calendar at that time. And therefore, they make a decision that in this year they will do it as their method of calculation by the old Roman calendar in use from the days of Caesar to the days when the Catholic Church in the West changed matters. So interestingly, this year the Christian world is still not understanding this day as a liturgy for the same time. Next year we have the phenomenon of the Orthodox Church with their views regularly, and our own having two liturgies laid out from church administration. One based on how we would understand Joshua chapter 5, Luke chapter 6, and the other, the traditional Western form of considering that the Sadducees were correct. The Catholic Church said they do not make a pronouncement as to which was right, but they take the view that the Pharisees were wrong. The Protestants have followed that decision. Both Orthodox and Catholics would have the view that the Pharisees were wrong. Anyway, I want you to know the significance that there is a time to study and a time to show yourself approved unto God. That time has always been. It is now and it is in the future. But you do not do it with a natural, carnal mind. You ask God for wisdom, for His Spirit. How do you receive His Spirit? One, two, three. Repent, believe, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Very simple. Baptism symbolizes the putting away of your old past. We're here today to ask you now to read Acts chapter 2, to read Hebrews 8 and 9, and understand that Jesus introduced the New Testament, the New Covenant, and in so doing, He made it possible for us to have His Spirit, to be forgiven, and to celebrate on this day the coming of that Spirit, as our church leadership says we should. And I would remind you, as most certainly the church of the first century would have understood it, not solely as the Pharisees would have. At this point, our congregation, as Mr. Ecker has said, will presumably celebrate Pentecost at the earlier date next year. But I want you to know what the basis of it all is, because it is important that you know why there are so many needless differences in the Christian world, a world divided and subdivided and subdivided. That is, if you thought there were only Methodists and never looked at the subdivisions, I was reared in the German Methodist Church that came to be English Methodist in the sense of Methodist Episcopal. It was a language matter. But there are many Methodists, many Baptists, different perspectives among Episcopalians, different kinds of synods among Lutherans. Is Christ divided? The argument is presented that we are not divided. All one Christians, we? I say, think it over. Think it over and not kid ourselves. The Spirit of God holds God's people together. The governances hold them apart. That's why I go so far as to leave the four square church that I could walk to go to Canoga Park. But I sometimes ask myself, if we have four square people, and I think we do, who are seeking God, for I baptized a woman who was four square when I did in 1953. She didn't know anything about the Sabbath, but I knew she was a woman who wanted to be converted. And she has stayed with the church till now. So don't think that I ever dreamed that the only converted minds were in Worldwide Church of God. I've made that clear for a long time. And sadly, many are gone who thought that was so. I want you to carefully read these things. And I think we need to pray about the tragedies. In the day when the church was one, we now walk past each other's meeting halls, never get acquainted with our neighbors. Now, if the church asks us to, we're not here to draw disciples away from them to us, but I think we need to ask ourselves, how neighborly are we really in reaching out to the community? Just in a public show, the most segregated time of the week in the Western Christian world is Sunday morning. And that tells me that something is fundamentally wrong in Christianity. And I will not alter that view until I see those barriers disappear through the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we have a lot of work to do to see that these barriers are not extant between others. That's the meaning of Pentecost. One Spirit, one body.